News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
79 websites have been found to have promoted Botox and other prescription-only medicines, violating the Advertising Standards Authority's Code of Standards. Professor Nikki Ralph is with us. She's a consultant dermatologist in the Institute of Dermatologists and Photobiology. Nikki, whatever about promoting things like health supplements or homeopathic remedies or anything along those lines, these are injectable medical products. How is it that they can be being sold online like this?
Morning, Anton. Yeah, I mean, the advertising of prescription-only medications to the public is actually banned in Ireland and in Europe. The only place you can actually do it is in the US and in New Zealand. It's like, I suppose, I mean, some clinics may be doing it, not necessarily even realizing that it is banned, but that law came into place in 2007, and it's regulated by the HPRA. It's really there for patient safety, so to stop, you know, self-diagnosis and avoid the inappropriate use of potentially potent medications. But yes, as this article states, it's been doing by about 2/3 of clinics.
So this is the clinics, rather than it being mail order and you inject yourself at home, this is clinics and service providers saying, come get your injections here. Is that it?
Exactly. So this was based on clinics rather than, yeah, someone. Now, I mean, of course, we've got social media, so it may be across social media platforms as well, but it might be the clinic's social media platform, but not individuals advertising saying, you know, come to my kitchen and inject this, which clearly does happen. But these should be obviously only done by medical professionals, by, you know, doctors and dentists.
Is the line becoming blurred there? Because we were talking last week about one pharmacy chain, which is now doing online diagnostics for you to get GLP-1 drugs. And now, obviously, it is still diagnosed by a GP, but nonetheless, it is a much easier route to a medication desired by a customer rather than a patient. Is that now starting to creep in more and more?
I don't know. I mean, certainly the GLP-1s are everywhere now, and as you know, there's a big black market for that. There's always been an issue with filler and as we call them, anti-wrinkle injections, where people who aren't qualified to do it do administer it. But the rules are certainly getting stricter, and the government is looking at it, especially when it comes to the regulation of filler, because, you know, what you don't want is that someone's getting some illegal filler put into their face with potentially deadly consequences, you know, blindness, loss of your lip, your nose, necrosis of the skin. With anti-wrinkle injections, thankfully, for the most part, yes, you might have a droopy eye temporarily, but there's less that can actually go wrong than can go wrong with filler.
And with filler, is it just the illegal ones that is a risk, or do you get risks with side effects and adverse reactions to even that which may be illegal? In other words, you still need a doctor even if it is an entirely legal product.
Yes, I mean, with filler, even in the right hands, if there's a possibility of things going wrong, everyone's anatomy is different. So there's always a possibility of occluding a blood vessel, for example, and, you know, leading to blindness. It's very rare, especially in the right hands when your doctor is trained in anatomy, but it is still possible.
How common and ubiquitous are these kind of treatments? How common are people getting filler? How common is Botox?
Probably as common as dyeing your hair and getting your nails painted.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it has now just become a normal part of a lot of people's beauty regimen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's been an explosion of it in the last 20 years in Ireland, as well as skincare. And certainly since COVID, when everyone had more time on their hands to go online and look at social media, Instagram, TikTok, skincare regimens have become ever more complicated, from, you know, 10 steps now to 20 steps. But yeah, I would say it's as common as getting your hair done.
I suppose that also then goes to the challenges faced by the Advertising Standards Authority, because back in the day when the advertising that people would see might be TV, radio and billboards, it is relatively easy to get between inappropriate advertising and the consumer. But much of what happens in US culture now, I assume, bleeds in here through social media. So an awful lot of the medical advertising that is technically illegal in Ireland is still getting into the discourse and becoming the norm.
Of course, because I mean, we've all got access to our social media platforms on every device that we own. So, you know, it doesn't stop you from looking at obviously American advertising. And for anyone who stays in, you know, in the States, if you turn on your hotel TV from the second you put it on, you do see prescription only medications being advertised. Yeah. And that does lead to some self-diagnosis and people almost demanding therapy that they may not need. And a lot of these medications would be actually the immunosuppressants that we use for psoriasis and eczema. So every time I go, I see a million of those ads. Now, it's great that there's patient education out there, but what you don't want is that, you know, people think, oh, I definitely need this, because their brain is being bombarded by it everywhere they look. But yeah, we've all got access to social media so we can see what's going on around the world.
Yeah, I was fascinated a number of years ago when I was in the States to see restless leg syndrome being pushed, that finally there was a solution to a problem that nobody ever knew that they had. But evidently, yeah, there was a pharmaceutical company with the medicine they needed to flog.
Exactly. Yeah. As you said, it's I think it's because we all have access to social media, and people don't watch terrestrial television as much anyway. But yeah, we certainly have we've got Netflix, we've got everything else that we're looking at from around the world. But it's coming through social media, I think, for the most part, that people are seeing it on their Instagram feed, where the clinics are actually advertising it that way. And what you don't want is, you know, you've got ads like buy one, get one free, and people think, God, this is a great offer. You want people to have informed decision if they are going to undertake anti-wrinkle injections, and that the person, the most important thing about all of this is that the person administering it is properly trained.
Nikki, thank you. Nikki Ralph, Professor Nikki Ralph, consultant dermatologist in the Institute of Dermatologists and Photobiology.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.